Let's open up to Ephesians chapter 6 tonight. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll conclude the series we've done on the armor that God has provided for the Christian. What we'll be talking about tonight is sometimes included with the armor as an offensive weapons. Oftentimes it's not included in the Christian armor. Now, I personally believe it belongs in it. Maybe not as an offensive weapon, but certainly a vital part of the Christian's warfare. I don't believe a Christian can be successful in the warfare even if they don all of the equipment that God has given to them if they neglect this part. We're in verse number 18 when God tells us, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Father, we thank you for your word, and as we consider just a few simple thoughts this evening, Lord, we confess our need of your Holy Spirit's help, Father, to take the one simple message from your word and meet the needs of each one of us. And Father, we just give you the honor and the glory and the praise for all that you'll do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. This evening, the topic is obviously prayer. And we're going to focus in on verse number 18, because in verse number 18, we see six keys to effective prayer. Six keys to effective prayer. Now, we can go to other passages of Scripture and come up with many other keys, but oftentimes it's good to just take one passage of Scripture and see what God says about a subject, especially when the subject is linked so closely, and as I said, I believe a part of the Christian's spiritual warfare. Because we have an enemy, we need prayer. Because we have an adversary that wants to defeat us, that wants to cause us to give in to the fight and to wave the white flag, we need to have communication with Almighty God, with our Commander-in-Chief, to get the strength that we need for the battle and to see the victories won that He has placed us in. And so what are these six keys that God has given to us? The first is very simple. The first two words of that verse, verse number 18, when He says, praying always. Praying always. This two-word phrase echoes what we have recorded for us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 when God says, pray without ceasing. It's always the Christian's duty to have an attitude of prayer and to be always about prayer. Too often we neglect it. When we run into trouble, we get advice from our friends or from someone else or some self-help book, and we neglect prayer. But prayer is an important thing. I guess I should have included in our day and age when we run into trouble, we go to Pinterest or we go to Facebook to try to find trouble or to find answers to our troubles. But God says we have a direct line to heaven above. He tells us that we're able to come boldly before the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. And so the first key to effective prayer is that prayer is constant. Prayer ought to be constant. In order for prayer to be effective, it must be constant. Now, what is that for which we're to pray? Specifically in regards to the spiritual warfare, the first thing we need to pray for is for guidance. For guidance. When you get in the middle of a battle, you need to know which way to go and which way to turn and which way to forge ahead. It's the same way in the Christian battle. We need to know what God wants us to do. We need to know where God wants us to do. We need to know how God wants us to respond. We need His guidance every day, every moment. Because so often we trust in our own wisdom and our own logic and we get ourselves into messes that all could be avoided if we just simply practiced constant prayer. We also need to pray constantly that God be glorified through our lives. We talked about that in the object lesson in the kids' time this evening. We need to be as that light bulb. That light bulb doesn't bring glory to itself. But it brings glory to everything about it. And the idea there in Matthew chapter 5 is that we bring glory to God in the way that we live when we let our light shine. And so part of our prayer life ought to be that God would be glorified through our lives. If we could get a hold of that, that would revolutionize the way we act and the way we interact with other people, because that would control our tongue. Now, certainly, hopefully, no one in the room tonight would be tempted, seriously tempted, to cuss at another individual. And so, though we may not do that, we might be tempted very seriously to say cross words or to say unkind words in response to what's been said to us. But is that how God is glorified in our lives? And so we need to be praying that God will be glorified through the things that we do, so that we're always exhibiting the glory of God in our lives and His graciousness and His love and His mercy and His forgiveness. In this Christian warfare, it's also important that we pray to be kept from temptation. That's what the Lord's model prayer had for us as a way of instructing us to pray, to keep us from temptation. Not to keep us from sin, but to keep us from temptation. Sin comes after the temptation takes place. And if we're being tempted, we're likely to fall many times. But if we're kept from temptation, then we're nipping it in the bud before it grows into sin. We also need to pray for spiritual victory. I think oftentimes we have not because we ask not. And we can parallel with the thoughts in this verse with what God gives us in James chapter 4 about prayer as well. And so our prayer, the first key of effective prayer, is that it is constant. The second key of effective prayer is that it is Spirit-led. Spirit-led. It tells us as we move along in verse number 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. That Spirit referred to in the verse is the Holy Spirit of God. We're to live our lives constantly filled with the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? Hopefully you understand what it means to be filled with the Spirit. It doesn't mean that we get any more of the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us than we already have. At the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit indwells us, and we have all the Holy Spirit that we're ever going to need, ever going to get, ever going to have. And so to be full of the Spirit just simply means that God gets all of us. That we yield to Him and His control, our thoughts, our actions, our words, our wills, our desires. Everything has been surrendered. Everything has been yielded. God, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to say? What would you have me to strive after in my life? We talk about it often in our daily life and in our daily actions, but we rarely consider this in the context of prayer. And yet right here it is. If we're going to have spiritual victory in our lives, if we're going to don that Christian armor and be successful, and if we're going to stand and withstand in the evil day like God would have us to do and He promised us we can do, we've got to learn to pray in the Spirit, letting the Spirit guide our thoughts. If we do that, our prayer life won't be filled with the things that we want. You see, there's a lot of things I want. But if I'm Spirit-led, I'm not going to pray that Michigan annihilates Ohio State this year. That'd be pretty selfish, wouldn't it? I'm going to pray for what brings glory to God. And I'm not so sure He's that concerned with the final score of a football game. We're going to be praying for lost souls. We're going to be praying for our church that God will use it and let us be a lighthouse of a testimony here on the corner of Marion and Beale, and that will have an influence in our community, and that will rescue souls from everlasting damnation and the fires of hell. And that our community will be cleaned up in the areas of sin. We'll be praying for an election process. This Tuesday is a primary, and I hope you'll vote. I hope you'll pray and let the Spirit lead you as the individual that you would vote for. But we need to pray that God will give us elected officials that will allow us to worship God according to our conscience. There are some of the candidates that would like to suppress us and would limit what we can say from the pulpit. and have us say just a watered-down message, unable to preach the gospel. If we're Spirit-led in our prayer life, we're going to pray about these things. These will be concerning because they're all spiritual things. And so our spirit life needs to be Spirit-led if it's to be effective prayer. It needs to be constant. It needs to be Spirit-led. But also, thirdly, in this verse, picking it up in the middle after the word Spirit, it says, and watching thereunto. Watchful. It needs to be watchful. We need to pay attention in prayer. So often we utter prayers and our mind is so disengaged and our wills are so just not a part of our prayer life that we pray and God answers a prayer and we never even notice that God has done a mighty work in our lives for us and through us and in the lives of others because we just don't pay attention when we pray. I don't know if you have the same experience I do so often in prayer. You can have insomnia. Now, most of you know what I'm talking about. You can have insomnia, not able to sleep all night long, and then you decide, well, I think I'll pray. How long does it take you to fall asleep? It takes about 3 seconds, doesn't it? If you're having trouble sleeping at night, pray. And all of a sudden, that body relaxes, and there you go. And I think that's part of being watchful. I think that's part of our problem in prayer is we lack alertness. That's what the word watchful is. It just means be alert in your prayers, not just, but also paying attention to what you're saying so that you know when God answers them, but also the idea of just staying alert in your prayer time. Sometimes we experience drowsiness just because we're inexperienced in prayer. You know, if I went out and tried to do the type of work I did before I went into the ministry, I don't know if I'd make it to the first break. Because it was very physically demanding. But you know what? I'm out of shape. And I don't think I could do it anymore. So often that's the way it is in our prayer life. We get out of shape in our prayer life and we try to pray and we just lack the watchfulness, the alertness. But effective prayer and the prayer we need to have to be effective in spiritual warfare must be alert and watchful. Fourthly, effective prayer is undaunted. What does undaunted mean? What does undaunted mean? Jaden? No, it doesn't mean unwanted. Undaunted. It just simply means that nothing is going to stop it. Kind of like a railroad, the train going down the railroad. You can pull 3 cars out on the road to try to stop it, and guess what? It's just going to keep plowing ahead. That's the way God says our prayer life should be. Notice what it says as we follow along here in verse number 18. Watching thereunto with all perseverance. Perseverance. Not giving up. Not quitting. Praying and praying until God gives an answer. Jesus teaches about that in the book of Luke through the parable of the woman who comes to the unjust judge. And we're all familiar with that, how she just kept nagging him and nagging him and nagging him. And finally he got tired of it and said, okay, I'll do what you're asking me to do. And so he acted on her behalf. And God uses that as an illustration or a parable to teach us to never give up in prayer. Just keep nagging him and nagging him and nagging him until you have an answer. Although I would advise you, when you get an answer, be satisfied with it. Be satisfied with it. Because sometimes we don't get the answer we want, and so we continue to pray, and so God says, okay, I'll give you what you're asking for. You're not going to be happy with it. It's not going to turn out the way you expect it to turn out. And you're going to regret ever getting that answer prayed, but because you won't quit asking, I'll let you have it. Sometimes that's the biggest mistake we can make. We've got to be persevering and undaunted in our prayer life, but we also have to be watchful, understand when He does answer it. Remember Paul and the thorn in the flesh. He prayed and he only prayed 3 times. Now we don't know exactly what that thorn in the flesh was. We think it was very poor eyesight. And they didn't have spectacles like we have today to help correct that eyesight. And as much traveling as he did, his eyesight was very, very important, and his love for the Scriptures. As we age, as those of us that are older know, it becomes harder and harder to read. I was trying to read some fine print the other day, and not on your life. It just wasn't going to happen with my glasses on or my glasses off. Maybe that's what Paul's problem was, and maybe his burning desire to have that thorn in the flesh removed is because he couldn't read the Scriptures. We don't know exactly what it was, but if it was his eyesight, boy, how important that would have been to him in his ministry. But he only prayed three times. Now, why did he only pray three times? We know the answer to that because he tells us in 1 Corinthians. He tells us the only reason he prayed three times is he got an answer. So he quit praying. He said, okay, God, if that's what you want from me, I'll accept it gladly. And he did. Because you don't hear anything else about his thorn in the flesh after that. It's the only time it's mentioned, and it's not mentioned to draw pity or to put it on a pedestal like we do, but it was only mentioned because it was necessary, because we needed to hear that. Our prayer life needs to be undaunted, but also alert and watchful, and persevere until God gives us an answer. And when he gives us an answer, we need to be satisfied and say, okay, God, I'm good with that. As we move along in this verse, we find a fifth key to effective praying. The first was it's constant. The second, it's spirit-led. The third, it's watchful. The fourth, it is undaunted. Fifthly, it is specific. Specific. And he sums that up with one word towards the end of the verse. He says, supplication. Supplication. Supplication means to ask a request. And so Paul says that we need to pray specifically. Now, the next point, I guess I should include it with this, is effective prayer is not selfish. Because here the specific prayer requests are for all saints. Now, he uses several words to describe prayer, actually two in this passage of Scripture. He begins the verse by saying praying. The word pray is kind of a general term for addressing God. And then he goes a little bit further in the verse and says prayer and supplication. Now, I believe the word prayer is used in a different context here because it also not just has that definition of the general term of communication with God, but it has a specific term of the idea of worship and praise in our prayer life. But then he uses that word supplication. And supplication has a specific term of bringing requests to God so that he can answer the needs that we have in our lives. And so when we come down to the end of the verse and see that phrase or that word supplication again, he's talking about the specific needs that we have in our lives and in the lives of other Christians. We need to pray specifically because no soldier is effective going out to battle alone. Now, they can if they have to. And we all know the movie Rambo. I mean, there's a man who could do it by himself, but he could do it himself because it was nothing more than fiction. But in real life, soldiers need other soldiers to be effective. And so we need to pray for the effectiveness and pray for the needs of our fellow believers. And so it's specific, but it's also unselfish. Now, when it's unselfish, it doesn't mean that we don't present our own requests before God. We know that's just foolishness. Paul took his request of the thorn in the flesh to God. Paul, later on in these verses, recognizing his needs, in verses 19 and 20, asks the church there in Ephesus to pray for him. And so when we pray for others, we're not to neglect ourselves. It's not pious to say, well, I only pray for other people and never pray for myself. That's not pious. That's foolish. Now, we're to pray for others, but we're to pray for our own needs as well. And so these are six keys to effective prayer in order that we might be successful in the Christian battle, so that we might withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. Our prayer life must be constant. It must be spirit-led. It must be watchful. It must be undaunted. It must be specific. And it must be unselfish. How has your prayer life been lately? We're not talking about a year ago, 2 years ago or so. We're talking about lately. How has your prayer life been? If it hasn't been what it ought to be, maybe that would explain why your spiritual struggles are there, why other struggles are there. Let's join together as a church family and pray as God tells us to pray, so that we might win the spiritual victories in our lives. Father, we thank you for the blessings that we can have. And tonight, as the topic is prayer, that specific blessing of having access to your throne. Father, help us and encourage us and stir us to be people of prayer, that you might work through us, that we might be a lighthouse here in our community, in our county. Not that we'd be recognized and receive accolades, but Lord, that you would be glorified, that lives would be changed for the glory of Christ. Challenge our hearts now. Help us to make decisions to be more faithful in our prayer life. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.